to leave out for Salat al-Fajr?
Around 4:30.
Okay, so we have 24 minutes then.
Sir.
Okay, so why don't you recite the poem for me up to where you've up to where you have memorized so far?
Yes, sir. Bismillahirrahmanirrahim. I gave my word with heart and head to praise Allah till I drop dead. Send blessings on the Prophet and respect the scars that she had. As Muslims, we must study and pray to fight shaitan in every way. We'll make mistakes along the way, repent to fight another day. So the first thing that I have to do that, now that I'm mukallafun, accountable in every way, my actions call on me to blame, is look to see what faith demands. Have I complied with its commands? What do I think about Allah? Why it's correct and what's a flaw? The meaning of Shahada is the first thing we must know. There is no God for real that is except the one and only. The hope, who he created it and for them he provides. He manages affairs of theirs from high above the sky. Too high, I say, sublime is he for partners or nadir. And this is what Shahada means, but let us make it clear. There are conditions tied to it to which we must adhere. There's knowledge and yaqeen and then acceptance, my sweet dear. The inqiyadu, then there's siddiq, ikhlasu, and mahabba. Allah, we ask for help and to admit us into Jannah. Then every Muslim must concur. Muhammad is the messenger sent by Allah. Therefore, we trust everything he said to us. We must obey his orders and respect the things he called haram. He brought the laws full and complete. Not one detail did he delete. All sacred laws must come from him, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And then I have to learn the things I need to do, my fardu ayns, like regulations of salat and just how much to pay zakat. The parts of hajj I have to do, it's Ramadan and I have the flu. This obligates all Muslimin to learn the laws and what they mean. I've sworn to do Allah's command and not to do one thing haram. So when I fail, I must repent before I get a punishment from up above Allah Most High. Before my soul is caused to die, repentance will not be correct until I'm sad and feel regret for what I've done. And I intend not to do that sin again. And if still sinning, I must stop all sinful deeds right on the spot. And no, it's not halal to say I will repent. Maybe one day for those who think like that will find a devil has possessed their mind. He plans to drop their soul in hell, turn to Allah to break his spell, say astaghfirullah wa atubu ilayhi 100 times in every day. Astaghfirullah wa atubu ilayhi. That's all the Muslim has to say. Uh-oh, better not rush in. Better think about Allah, because there might be some jinn. Say a'udhu billahi min al-khubthi wa al-khabayat. I seek refuge in Allah from the dirty, nasty jinn. As babies, we were potty trained, so toilet rules should not be strange. Make dua and, wake dua and with left sin in. No reading, writing, talking in. No reading, right?
Make dua with the left step in. Make dua with the left step in.
Make dua with the left step in. No reading, writing, texting in. Squat the way the Prophet taught. Then water and the left is sought. We're leaving clean. With thanks we pray, Gufranic, as we walk away.
With thanks we say, Gufranic, as we walk away.
We're leaving clean. With thanks we say, Gufranic, as we walk away. Say Bismillah and wash my hands once or twice or three times and wash my mouth and blow my nose and wash my face. That's how it goes. I'll wash my arms until they bend. I wash my arms until they bend, then wipe my head and back again. Then wash my ears inside and out, go up and down till there's no doubt. Then make sure that I wash my feet with ankles washed reducingly. I have to hear.
Okay, could you recite that section on wudu, please, but a little bit slower?
Yes, sir. Say Bismillah and wash my hands once or twice or three times and wash my mouth and blow my nose and wash my face. That's how it goes. I wash my arms until they bend, then wipe my head and back again, then wash my ears inside and out, go up and down till there's no doubt, then make sure that I wash my feet with ankles washed, wudu is complete.
Alhamdulillah. Jazakallah khair for this recital. As far as I can tell, it was perfect. Except for those couple of points which I corrected you on. It was very, very well done, mashallah.
Alhamdulillah.
Do you have any questions about this poem or just anything that you want to discuss with the class?
No, I have the next poem, the Fardasa. I haven't finished memorizing that one, but I was I needed to check the other class to the point on I'tidal and Itma'in, but I forgot what those meant. I need to check the recording.
Yes, Bismillah. I'tidal refers to giving each position in the Salat adab. So a position, it refers to giving each station in the Salat its justice, doing justice to each station in the Salat. Because the word adil is Arabic for justice, and i'tidal is constructed from the root word for adil. So i'tidal here means giving each part its justice. So when you stand in Qiyam, you're standing in all of your, and you're doing, all of your bones have settled in that position. And when you're doing sujood, you're in sujood and all of your bones have settled in that position. And itma'in refers to the state of tranquility that you feel in that position. So it's not enough that you just get to that position and stop there. Your heart has to be at rest in that position. Okay?
Yes. Wouldn't that take time then? So you can't, like, even though it would depend on the person, right? How long they stay. Someone might stay 10 seconds and they don't feel tranquility. So they might stay maybe 20 or 30. Would that be how it is, or is that incorrect?
That's a good question. I don't know. That's a question for the Sheikh.
Okay.
The basic point of this is that we go back to the hadith of the man who prayed badly. And in this hadith, one of the reasons why the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam ordered him to repeat his prayer was that he was doing it in a rushed way. He was doing it in a rushed way. So he was just going through the motions and he wasn't stopping at each point. He wasn't at rest. He wasn't tranquil.
I see. Okay.
Welcome, yeah. Dr. Maisha. Do you have anything to add? I can't hear your audio if you're speaking. I see your icon is flashing, but I can't hear anything. Still nothing.
Likewise, I can't hear anything.
She's probably going to restart her connection. Assalamu alaikum.
Alaikum assalam.
Dr. Maisha, can you hear me? Okay, you can hear us. We still can't hear you though. I don't know, maybe your audio settings are not set to the right setting. Okay. I still can't hear her. Well, inshallah, if you figure that out, you know, just pop in and say something what you want to say. But I spoke to the Sheikh yesterday and he told me that he's in Qatar right now filming his documentary on his life. And this documentary will be filmed in all Arabic. So looking forward to seeing that. Yeah, that'll be really interesting to see. I'm looking forward to that. So that's probably why he can't join us today. I reached out to him a few times, but I haven't heard from him yet.
I have a question on the second poem where it says is look to see what faith commands have I complied with its demands. Is that like something we're always supposed to be thinking about? Like, even though we're mukallaf now, right? But should we always be checking ourselves on those things? Or is that like too much that like we're like doubting that we have like the fundamentals? Does that make sense?
Can you give me an example?
So like you're always, let me think. So like you're checking yourself, like, am I like fulfilling the conditions of the Shahada? Am I, you know, am I like up to par, like in my knowledge of Salah? Am I, you know, am I like solid about like understanding Tahara and stuff like that? Like whatever, like I need to like fulfill those obligations. Like, is there a point where it's like you can review those things too much? Is, I don't know, is that indicating that we should like review those things and we're like looking towards that? I guess because it's in terms of like the five pillars, like, and towards the objectives of them, I guess. I'm sorry, I just thought of that. I didn't really flesh it out beyond what I just said in my head.
Yeah, it sounds like what you described just sounds like the muraqabah that we're supposed to be doing all the time. Okay. Like the self review and self reflection that we're supposed to be doing. Even now, even in this situation, in this class right now, I went over this poem years ago with the Sheikh. We went over this, me and Dr. Maisha and the other classmates, we went over this years ago, but we're still reviewing it when someone new comes into the classroom. It's still beneficial for us to go through it again and review what we know, because, you know, we still learn something too, usually.
Okay, alhamdulillah.
Now, of course, there's some people who they take this too far and they never progress beyond the first stage of knowledge. Like they actually just get stuck on the basics of Islam or on one science of Islam. And they don't look into the other sciences. They don't fill out their knowledge in the necessary way to become a well-rounded Muslim. And they don't ever progress to achieve any kind of advanced study in the science that they know. But they just stay circling around like one book or like a couple of books. And they do this for years and years and years. And the Sheikh has spoken about these people, and Allah knows best, but I think the Sheikh sees this as blameworthy from what he's said in the class. And I would have to agree. If you've taken it to the extreme where you don't go outside like one introductory book in one science of Islam and you don't complete what's wajib on you in the other sciences. For example, there's some brothers who make a huge issue of Aqidah, which Aqidah is important. This is I'm conveying to you something the Sheikh has said to us many times. This is not for myself. There's some brothers who make Aqidah this huge issue, and they go to extremes, and they create divisions in the community because of it, and they criticize other Muslims harshly because of it. But they don't know, for example, all the different forms of Salat. Like it says in this poem, like in the next chapter of this poem, where the Sheikh goes through the different types of Salat. Salatul Istikhara, Salatul Khawf, Salatul Khusuf, Salatul Janaza. There's some brothers and sisters who they don't even know these basics in fiqh, but they will almost make takfir of other Muslims because of extremely fine points on, for example, Aqidah or some other sciences. You see what I'm saying? And this is being lopsided.
I understand what you're saying. Thank you.
Okay. You're welcome.
Positions. Well, I don't know what Sheikh taught me this, actually. If you're in a position, you should be truly, deeply reflecting on the words of Allah that you're reciting. So you should be deeply reflecting on what does Iyyaka na'budu wa Iyyaka nasta'in mean. Like, what are you actually asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for when you say those words? That's one of the ways to know that you've really come to rest in that position. So the spiritual side of it is that connection with Allah. And so you can never put a firm time on that, but it's what's ma'aruf, right? What's reasonably, any reasonable person would say, okay, that we felt like we rested. And if you're leading the salah, you have to give extra time. So my other mashayikh say, for example, when you're in Jals and you make the Rabbana Ghafarli, he recommends saying it, the imam to say it five times instead of just three, to give everyone else enough time to have their experience of itma'in. So when you're the imam is different, and when you're the ma'mun is different for that answer, okay, as well. Is that helpful?
Yes, no, it's very helpful. I appreciate it. Jazakallah khairan. Thank you.
And what was the second question? I forgot what you asked.
The second question was focusing on the basics.
Oh, yeah. That was a beautiful answer that Ustad Tyler gave. Like he said, we've been in class for a long time now. And he's much more diligent in coming to class and taking notes. So he's advancing us. So first, that's the first thing, is you're going to see that a lot. And then the second thing in that, so the Hassan answer of that question would be that, so the fiqhi answer is you just need to learn your fiqh. So you have to learn your aqidah and your fiqh, your fardu ayn, Jamia, or the part of the whole Jamaat, you have to learn those things, right? So, to look to see what faith demands, right? So the first thing that faith demands is all what is yajibu of mukallaf. So that's the first thing you're looking at. What's required of me as a mukallaf? Because when it says look to see what faith demands, you really should already be having that faith. That's presuming that your aqidah is straight, like you believe correctly. Now you're looking to see, so I said I believe, what do I have to do? Now that I'm mukallafun, right? So what do I have to do? That's on the outer side. On the inner side, looking to see what faith demands has to do with your spiritual connection to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And everyone is going to be in maqamat and darajat for that. So it's going to depend on how fast you have progressed in your journey towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And I'm going to reference Surah Al-Kahf 28, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says to keep yourself with those who seek His face morning and night. So you're in a constant state of zikr. You're constantly in remembrance of Allah. So everything that you do. So there's an afiq rule about how I'm on the highway, how I change lanes. There may be some rule when it comes to horses, but there's not a set rule about when I put on my blinker and when I turn off my blinker. I mean, there's rules of the country for that. There's no, who do I let pass me? Do I speed past this person or let them go? All of those are going to actually be faith decisions. Am I conducting myself as someone who actually believes in the law and its messenger? So for me, that means, for example, whenever I get paid, I put $30 in my purse in once just to hand out to homeless people. That's what faith for me demands at my level. Even if I'm poor, even if I'm not quite making my bills that month, I have to do that. I don't owe zakat. By faith, I don't owe zakat in that moment. But for my faith and my level and my journey to Allah, it doesn't matter if I don't know where I'm going to get my money from, I have to give that. For someone else, depending on their level, once they've paid their pure zakat, that's all that faith demands of them. That is what's required. And they're good. And they may be struggling just to pay their zakat. Like, they have an issue with that. So what faith demands on the outer level is all of the laws. And there's lots of them. And you should always be learning them. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, there was nothing left unexplained, mashallah. Allah gave everything to us in the Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So every problem that you can think of, every question that you could have, you can either find something that is explicitly or implicitly addressing that concern. Like the example of changing lanes. It has to do with how a believer is supposed to be polite. So even when you're driving, you should be polite. And that's something demanded by your faith on the outer level, on the inner level. Okay, I'm running a little bit late, but this person looks like they're really anxious. Maybe they're getting late to work. I'm going to slow down and let them pass. And I'm worried, too, about my state, but I'm just going to be more kind to this other person. And so things like that are reflecting where you are in your journey to Allah and how your faith is growing. And that goes back to the hadith of Jibril. You have hadith of Jibril, Iman, Islam, Ihsan. So Ihsan is going to cover the inner aspect of the answer to all of those questions that you're asking. And they all have an inner and an outer of that answer.